Welcome back, everyone, to this 40th episode of Guildcast. I'm your host, Sean, and with me once again is Ruby.
Hi. Right? Yay, episode 40.
How you doing?
Good. I'm relieved you remembered my name.
I know. Well, in my mind, I spelled it with a Y, too. Does that help?
Ew. No, that just makes... I'm hanging up now. I'll see you later. Good luck.
Oh, boy. Well, we had a pretty fun week this last week. Not a ton of Guild Wars news, though. Guild Wars or Guild Wars 2. Although there was PAX, which we did not attend. I don't know if anyone's known that. Like, have we said that before?
Have we whined about that enough?
I don't know if we've whined enough.
It was so sad to miss that, because it looks like everybody had such a good time.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing, though, is, you know, we went to GDC the week before, and we explained this last episode, I think, but there was a big reveal for the Thief, right? And then there was, you know, the crafting information and all this stuff. And they were going to do all of this at PAX. So they had a lot built up for PAX. They had this, you know, big booth. They had a lot of people there, and it was going to be this big reveal. Well, of course, they showed that same stuff at GDC, but it was embargoed. It wasn't supposed to be talked about until PAX. Well, of course, then it was leaked. The information was leaked, and it was kind of a scramble to get, you know, to get the information kind of sorted, and then they went ahead and they gave the go-ahead to people to get the information out. So the information that was supposed to be at PAX came out the week before, and there, you know, that's basically it. So it kind of ruined PAX. So we were going to have something big to talk about. We talked about it last week.
But we already had something big to talk about. Yeah. You know what, though? I have to say, I'm always so impressed when this stuff happens to our internet. I'm so impressed with how they bounce back. Mm-hmm. Because they were just like, oh, well, at PAX, you know, you've seen all these like amateur videos of the Thief. Now you're going to see it done right.
Yeah.
So that was how... And I'm not talking about you.
Yeah.
Seriously not.
No, but I mean, that's only fair. You know, these people have been playing Guild Wars 2 while they're developing it for years and years. And, you know, everybody else who tried it at the demo and, you know, in a conference room at GDC, they weren't...
They were screaming at them.
Yeah, they weren't exactly that good. But I think that was a good point, though, you know, that they were able to show it with the, you know, the professional players, I guess you could say, the people who are making the game. You know, they actually get to play. And... they had a demo. We talked about this last week, too, because they showed this on Friday when we recorded. And so we talked about that demo with Colin Johansson, and it was a really great demo. But then throughout after that, you know, after Friday, there were other demos that were happening with other sites. So we want to put together kind of a group of links in the show notes of other sites and, you know, the galleries that they've made, the videos especially. A lot of people made videos.
Oh, yeah.
And it's, I think it's pretty cool because it's not always the same exact thing. You know, everybody runs through the demo differently. Some people play different classes, I mean, different races, but they all usually play the Thief. But they play different areas, you know, and they fight differently. They all have their own styles. Plus, like you said, you know, there's the arena that people playing the games also. So you have all that. So we'll put together kind of a comprehensive list of that in the show notes.
Yeah, and that's... Martin Kirstein put together a list on the ArenaNet blog, and we'll use a few of those, but we found some pretty cool other stuff, too. So,
mm-hmm. Yep. So that should be good.
We have a mountain of email, right?
Yes, we do. Well, here's the thing.
There's a thing.
We have a lot of email. We also have a lot that was from before, you know, that we never read, but we're not going to be able to get through all of that, of course. But what we are going to do is I'm going to pick some and read those. And what's funny is I'm looking through these right now. I have a label set up to where when, you know, when I get guildcast.com, it, you know, it goes to my Gmail, but it labels it. So I'm kind of looking through here. All right, so this first one here is from Jester Archon. And he says, I like the PS. He says, please don't feel like you need to discuss this email on the podcast. Well, sorry.
But we want to.
He says, Dear Sean Ruby, I'm a brand new player to Guild Wars, and I was wondering if you could help me out. I watched Sean on Gamebreaker TV and want to get into Guild Wars before Guild Wars 2 comes out. I've recently been listening to your Guild Wars podcast and have been having a lot of fun playing the game. The problem is I have no clue what I'm doing. I played WoW for close to 6 years, so I understand the basic mechanics of the game, but all I do is run around and kill stuff, read quests, and go to the green star to kill more stuff. I feel like I'm doing something wrong. I've recently started playing a Necro Mesmer and have made it past pre-searing. And then he says, I think that's the term. Ascalon City has been destroyed. Yeah, past pre-searing is post-searing. And then he goes on and he says, and I'm lost as to what I'm supposed to do. I was wondering if you could point a complete noob in the right direction. Thank you very much for your time. Keep up the great work. Sincerely, Jester Archon. Well, this is actually, I think it's a good point. Because I remember, I do remember very vividly, you know, whenever it was I started playing, over five years ago, I guess, doing that same thing. You know, I spent so much time in pre-searing, I really loved it, and then this thing happens where, you know, there's this giant giant searing, and the char bombed the heck out of the place, and I'm like, okay, so now I'm in a burned-out version of the same city, what do I do? And there are, you know, a couple quests. You run around Ascalon City, and there are a couple quests that send you out, but that's essentially what you do. You follow the quest line, and the story itself is... It takes you through where you need to go. You know, it's a pretty linear path. So as long as you do the quests, and especially the main story quests, you know, you will progress. You will get to Pikin Square, you know, and then Yak's Bend, and you will kind of make your way through and see the actual story itself. There are missions that take you through the story, too, which are very important to follow. And I think one of the things here is... It's funny because... You say that, like, you've played WoW for 6 years, but, you know, you don't really like... Well, I guess you said all you do is run around and kill stuff, read quests, and go to the Green Star. I mean, that is kind of that part of World of Warcraft taken out of that, you know, and put into Guild Wars. There's not crafting professions, you know, there's not dailies. Well, I guess there are, kind of, but not at this point. But there are not as many things to do as World of Warcraft. But you're also not paying a subscription fee. You know, I think that's the big thing there. Mm-hmm. But once you get past all that, you know, once you start getting into the missions and bonuses, and you start getting into the other areas, you know, Lion's Arch and Guma Jungle and the desert and all that stuff, that's when it really gets a lot more exciting, and it opens up a lot more options. I mean, when you go Ascend, I mean, that's fun.
That is pretty cool. Because then you can start playing with secondaries.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of different stuff that you can do. But playing with your build, I mean, that's a huge... You can even PvP if you want to. I mean, there's a lot of things you can do. You just have to explore it. Try it out.
Yeah. You know what? I want to jump in with just a couple of little technical pointers on very basic stuff. If you... And, you know, you press L for your quest log, which I think is pretty much the standard in every MMO. Mm-hmm. If you're looking at your quest log... Under the heading Primary Quest, those are the ones that are going to actually advance you through the storyline. Everything else that's not under the Primary Quest label is going to be a side quest, which is cool and gives you XP and helps you advance and all that good stuff, but it will not actually propel you through the game. So Primary Quests are what you want to pick up. And if you come to when you come to a mission outpost, if you look at your map, if the place where you are, if the icon is a shield, that's a mission outpost, and that's what's going to propel you through the main storyline. Mm-hmm. The primary quests are kind of the little links in the chain of missions. So those are the two things that you kind of want to look for. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and even if you do the mission cities, there's also, you know, the bonuses. So if you do them once and then you don't do the bonus part of it, that's something you want to do. I mean, like the North Wall, that's... a good one where I remember when I first played that and I didn't do the mission or the bonus, and then I went through and I think I did a few other ones, and then I started picking up on this fact that you have to do the bonuses, and I went back and I did the bonus on the Northern Wall one. So I think that's another thing. You know, you can kind of strive to be a completionist if you want mm-hmm. to, and there's a lot of things you can do. But like I said, it opens up a lot more further along the line. Plus, you know, this is just one chapter. You know, if you want to kind of open that up, you can actually get the other chapters, you know, Factions and Nightfall and even mm-hmm. Eye of the North, which is the expansion. And once you make it to Lion's Arch, you can port your character over to those other chapters. Or if you link them. Well, of course, I recommend linking them, linking the chapters all together. But if you don't, I mean, you can still make a character in those other chapters and play through those areas with an alt. And at some point, those alts can go over to, you know, the other chapter. Like, it's kind of hard to explain. I take it for granted sometimes explaining it. But right now, you're in chapter one. You're in the Tyria, they consider it Tyria, even though the entire world is Tyria. So with your character that you have now running, just getting out of pre-searing and all that, you're able to explore that land, which is a pretty big world. And then if you buy, let's say, Chapter 2 factions, you can either create a character there who can go on a boat over to where you're at now and run through those missions plus the Chapter 2 missions, or, you know, they can stay just in the Chapter 2 missions. I mean, it's really kind of overwhelming when you think about it. I mean, there's really a lot there. Same with Chapter 3. You can buy Chapter 3 and start a character in Chapter 3, and then they can go over to Chapter 2 or Chapter 1. It's all connected, and it's all interchangeable. You know, eventually you can get to a port city, which is Lion's Arch, and that will let you go between the chapters. I mean, it's really a lot of fun. And I'm actually pretty excited for you, being a brand new player, you know? I kind of wish I had that again.
I would kind of love to experience all this for the first time again. Yeah. Honestly, I hope that he bought the entire bundle. I hope he bought everything together, just because it's a good deal,
yeah,
and there's a lot to do. But I can see there's also that overwhelming feeling of, what is going on here? Mm-hmm. I don't even understand what to do, so...
Yeah.
You know, you'll get settled in. And I recommend find a good guild and alliance. That seriously will help you more than anything.
Yeah, yeah. And do you have any recommendations?
I'll definitely link to ours. I feel kind of bad always pushing ours out there. But, it really, really is a good guild, and it's a great alliance. So.
Yeah, especially for new players. You
know. Yeah, and because we've got people that have been playing since the Guild Wars beta, and we've got people that bought the game a month ago, so,
yeah,
and everything in between. So it really is, I mean, I've stayed there 2.5 years for a reason.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Okay, let's move on to this next email.
Yeah.
It says, "Beloved Ruby and awesome Sean."
Aww.
"You two are doing a great job, and I always look forward to the next show. And here's my question. What do you think of a bestiary in Guild Wars 2? I, for one, always love games that have one in-game. I like it even more if it has sketches of the foes or even a 3D model to zoom and rotate to see all the small details that get lost when fighting them. Even more fun is collecting them in-game via some kind of a Surin device or just a journal like the books in Guild Wars. It would enrich the lore even more of the game and may be used to spot certain weaknesses about the foes. It could even be connected to a title. So just asking what both of your thoughts on... are about a bestiary. Keep up the good work, Hiko."
Well, I love art, and I love finding out all those little background details about the different races. I mean, I got such a kick out of hearing about the Grawl last year. I remember the Asura messing with them from the giant rock.
Yeah.
See, I love that stuff. I think that's so cool. I don't want to, like, venture into Pokemon territory, though, and be pinning a little Grawl to a board on the wall in my home instance.
Why not?
Well, I don't know, because that's kind of gross. I've already burned down an orphanage. Jeez, how much more do you want me to do here?
You know what would be cool is if you could get a skill. Now, I'm just completely reaching here. None of this is even close to confirmed or even mentioned. But wouldn't it be cool if you could get a skill? Like in Lotro, you can actually paint pictures in a crafting profession. Wouldn't it be cool if you could do that, but you could paint... like stories of your life, you know, like say you chose to do this one part of your life in your life instance, you know what I mean, in your character's instance, and then you can paint that as a picture and you could put it up in your house. Wouldn't that be awesome?
That would be pretty cool. I was just thinking too, or you could mount their heads on a wall.
Yeah, like in Lotro.
Yes, exactly. Well, as soon as you said Lotro, I was like, oh, you could mount fish in Lotro.
Oh man. We're going to make everybody go play Lotro.
Well, Lotro's a good game. But I still don't want a Grawl head mounted on my wall.
I do.
Well, you can have mine. But no, back to... Okay, now we're just getting silly. I really do like this idea. Maybe even some sort of like research book that you collect information in.
Yeah.
So, but cool. Again, I love art, so I also like Sean's idea of painting the pictures.
I think that'd be great. Yeah, Lotro. Okay, anyway, Guild Wars. Okay, next email. This is from Nathan. He says, "Will I still be able to switch to any build with my class? Example, going from high to low vitality in favor of willpower because I feel like it." I think he means in Guild Wars 2.
I hope so, because otherwise it doesn't make any sense.
Well, in Guild Wars 2, though, the builds are based on the items, mostly.
Yeah.
As far as at least how they change. And so, I mean, if you switch items, you switch that first part of your skill bar, you know, depending on that. So it doesn't really matter what, well, I mean, the class matters what items you can wield, I guess, to an extent. But again, I think we've talked about that before, but the class plus item equals what skills you get, like the combination of the two. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm not sure if that's, he's talking about low vitality in favor of willpower. I think he's talking about the attributes.
Yeah, and I think they're going to be pretty flexible. Mm-hmm. There's a lot we don't know about attributes at this point, and I'm kind of hesitant to really delve into that. But they have been created with player flexibility and switching things up in mind. So I imagine, while you can't get completely crazy, you are going to have that. You are going to have that ability to switch it up as needed. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess we'll see. But that is a good question. Let's see. This next email, this is a long one. It says, "Hello, Ruby and Sean. My name is Caro, and I am a fairly new Guild Wars player and fan. I began playing last summer after learning about Guild Wars 2, and so far it's been a fun experience. Of course, I'm extremely excited about Guild Wars 2. Enough about me, though. I wanted to express an idea I've had regarding cross-profession combos and possibly get some feedback and or extra ideas that come to mind from you guys. Forgive me for copying and pasting a post I made on Guild Wars 2 Guru. Basically, we are always talking about cross-profession combos, but I'd love to see inter-profession combos. Maybe we could begin calling these premeditated combos, skill syncs, where doing so could increase the potency or create a larger effect for the skills combined. This could include some skills and same skills and different skills to promote teamwork, even if your group has many of the same professions present. Let's say two LEs use firewall. The firewall combo damage a ranger gets for firing arrows through it is increased, and maybe the firewall is visually longer, or the flames are denser, or turn blue, hotter fire, etc. I'd love to see a mechanism that allowed two people of the same profession to skill sync in a way that isn't too difficult to pull off. Maybe something like a 5-second timer that allows you and a groupmate to sync. So you hit a skill, and your partner has that small window to hit a skill, and the appropriate combo is activated once both parties have initiated the skill component. What do you guys think about this? I think it'd be a fun thing to experiment with in dungeon play, and it allows people who pre-plan a strategy of combos to use in certain situations to unleash stronger results rather than the random chaotic position myself to shoot through firewalls that we've been seeing in the demos thus far. It would be nice to see a different or more dramatic animation from successfully executing these moves too. I'm wondering if all combos would then be called skill syncs, or if it'd be two categories, one being cross-profession combo and the same profession combos being called skill syncs. I don't know. It'd be cool to see ArenaNet implementing more and more combos, changing up gameplay and making players want to try to combine their skills to see if it yields a new result. New expansions and new skills would also mean new combos, which would enrich the value of getting updates and new stuff. That's pretty much my idea. I don't think I've ever heard it brought up before, so if you guys could elaborate if you think it's a good idea or point out the flaws in it, I'd be very much interested. Or if it has been brought up, point me in the direction of where I can find the discussion. Your podcast is great. I'm now an avid listener. Keep up the great work, and I'm so jealous you guys got to play the thief. Thanks, Caro.
Okay, I'm jealous you got to play the thief too, frankly. I hope I get to get my hands on that thing at E3. So, but the whole point of his thing, I like this idea.
Yeah, I do too, because when I first heard about combos in Guild Wars 2, it was exciting, you know, because they're also talking about it with the Secret World. And I think the Secret World actually does do something like this, where there's not same profession, but professions play off of each other, where I guess it's really similar to Guild Wars 2, where there's, you know, the firewall and you shoot the arrows through and it does that. But as far as same, like kind of doubling up, like this example was, you know, maybe the firewall be bigger or more dense or blue or whatever, if two LEs do it at the same time. I don't think they've talked about that. And actually, in the demo, I do remember seeing two LEs laying down walls of fire next to each other because they were, it's funny, they were trying to get the wall up in front of me so that I would shoot through it with a thief, and I kept getting distracted by other stuff, and I'd run away, and they're like, go back. They're like, look, they laid down a wall of fire for you. Go over there and shoot through it. And I'm like, okay, yeah, but I'm killing this thing over here, so just
also,
second.
I saw something shiny.
Yeah, so I'm going to be over here. No, but they were laying them, and they were making kind of like X's, I was noticing. So they were crossing over each other, but there was nothing new happening, you know, when they were doing that. So it doesn't look, I mean, at least from that little tiny, mm-hmm. you know, sample, it doesn't look like they're allowing something like that, the same, you know, same profession combos like that. But I do think that would be a great idea. I think the only drawback would be if there was some way, which would happen, someone would find a way to exploit this, and they would, you know, find some skill, like, you know, they do in Guild Wars, that when it's stacked 8 times, it makes everybody invincible, you know, or something like that. Mm-hmm. And people would do that, and then they'd have to constantly balance that, which I guess is, you know, it's part of the game, balancing and all that. But I think it would probably be really easily exploitable. You know, we would have full parties of one class that someone finds out is, you know, the best at these same class combos, these skill syncs, like Caro says, and then they would play those all the time. You know, it'd be a full group of this one class, and that's kind of exactly what ArenaNet is trying to get away from.
Yeah, and it would be, you know, there'd be some kind of insane spike damage that nobody could do anything about.
Yeah, I think they're trying to promote diversity among the classes, and I think by doing it like this, it would promote the exact opposite.
Right, and you know, I can see some potential here. Just given your example about the fire alleys laying down like the X's, and I don't know if it's going to hurt an enemy to run through a firewall. We don't know that, do we?
I don't think so. I don't think it does.
Yeah, but you know, hypothetically, you could do something like that, like get 4 alleys to, and this is where the positional combat that they've talked about so much comes in. You could hypothetically get 4 alleys to box an enemy in with firewall, but I don't know if the payoff would be worth the effort. Mm-hmm. So the potential is there. I just don't know if the way ArenaNet is setting it up is going to make it worth it. Mm-hmm. But as far as, you know, the whole time we're talking about this, I'm thinking about Guild Wars 1 and like a fire alley laying down meteor shower or some kind of nuke while a nearby earth alley pins the enemy down or slows him down. So you've got that kind of cross-profession combos already. And I can see being able to do that bigger and better in Guild Wars 2.
Yeah.
But again, I don't think, I agree with you in that I don't think they'll let it happen too much because they don't want teams of one profession running around. You don't want to get too reliant on any one class.
Yeah. I think that's exactly what it would do. I think that would probably be the biggest drawback and the one thing that I guess would pretty much make it not feasible.
Yeah. But I like the idea, though. The way it's set up now, I think we're going to have a ton of cross-profession combos to play with and to learn. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think we're going to have plenty to keep us busy.
Yep. Okay. This next email, this is from MediaMaster9000, Dan, who was on our round table, and he put supercalifragilisticexpialidocious at the end because his name is MediaMaster9000, and it's a mouthful.
It's a thing.
He says, "Hey, Sean and Ruby, I think I may have been too harsh in my last email." What?
Now I don't remember. What did he do to us?
Me neither.
I don't actually see this email. Do I have this?
No, I think he just sent it to me.
Oh, okay.
I can make up a bunch of stuff about you since you didn't get to.
Hey!
Oh, sorry. In case my last email and this one get split up in 2 different weeks, which they did because I don't think I got the last one. Basically, I was the one that sort of ripped on the voice acting in Guild Wars 2. But after watching the hour-long video from last week's Guildcast link, I found myself so incredibly excited and giddy. Watching the thief being played alongside the guardian gave me a glimpse into the good times the game holds. Since I've not yet played the game, I've decided to retract and reserve my judgment regarding the voice acting. And even still, no matter how crappy the voice acting might be, the brilliant and innovative gameplay that they've built into the game with dynamic events is sure to cast the veil of I don't give a rat's over any of the game's trivialities. In addition, knowing I'll have my MVOP guildmates and GW Alliance peeps there to experience the game with puts a smile on my face. I truly cannot wait.
Yay!
That's Dan. Maybe I missed that email. I don't know. I feel bad. I need to go back and look. But
nice.
He's essentially saying he changed his mind. Like, even if he was ripping on the voice acting before, he's willing to overlook it.
You know, I can get on board with that. And I've actually been a little bit quiet about the voice acting because I feel bad. Like, I'm constantly ripping on it myself. But I guess every game has to have a downside. There's no, you know, we keep looking for the perfect MMO, the flawless MMO. I don't know that it will ever exist for any, I don't know, it might exist for one person. It doesn't exist for me yet. But for me, the voice acting is the downside to Guild Wars 2. Mm. But everything else is so amazing, I'm willing to overlook that.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Even when we saw the Norn starting area, I flinched. There were things that just made me go, ugh, ow.
Yeah. I can't wait to see the Silvari area.
I want to see the Silvari starting area. I don't think I'm ever going to get on board with the voice acting. But I can completely get on board with what Dan said. Big deal. I can easily overlook that in the face of all the awesome that we do have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I agree. Yeah. I mean, this is, we say it every week. We're very excited for Guild Wars 2.
Yes.
So, yeah. But that's, it looks like that's all the email we had. I just read the ones from the last week, because I think we read a lot. Let's see. Did we read some last week? I'm not sure. But, so basically these were just the ones from this week. But I did want to talk a little bit about kind of what's going to be happening in the next few weeks. Next week I will be gone, so we will not have a show.
Yeah, some of us get to go to Iceland.
Some of us.
Some of us do not.
yeah, so I'm going to Iceland for EVE FanFest, which doesn't mean I'm being a traitor. I'm just, I'm covering it for Massively. So
it's for your work. It's a burden, but you deal with it.
Yeah, yeah. It's funny because some people in my World of Warcraft guild, when I told them last night that I wasn't going to be here next week, they're like, oh, I didn't know you played EVE. I'm like, no, I don't. I just
I'm going anyway.
Nothing bad about EVE. It's just that it's not my type of game. Yeah. So anyway, so I'll be gone next week for that. And then the week after that is when we're going to record the roundtable. And we'll be a little late on that because we're going to record that on Sunday. So that show will probably come out on Monday instead of Fridays. But we have, like I said, we have lots of people lined up. And I don't want to get it, you know, too large, so I'm going to pick a few, and I apologize for the ones that I haven't picked. But it's going to be probably like 4 or 5, I guess. And then, you know, plus, well, I guess that would be including me and you. So maybe like 3 people, 4 people at the most. And we'll just see, you know, we'll get together and we'll discuss our topic, and that should be a really good show. I'm really excited about those because the last one worked out so well. Actually, you know, last two worked out so well.
I've had so much fun with those.
We've had really good feedback on those, too. So, yeah, you still have a little bit of time. I'd like to get those in by Monday, the 21st, right around there, or even 22nd, I guess. how's that for a definitive date?
Sometime in March. But try to start nailing down the schedule before you leave the country.
Yeah, so I want to make sure I choose people before that and kind of let them know so that they can, you know, take that week. Well, I guess that would be more than a week. It'd be like almost 2 weeks to get ready and, you know, do vocal exercises or, you know, whatever they need to do.
Are we supposed to be doing that?
Oh, I do that every day. You don't do that?
No, I'm mostly like, all right, I have a glass of water in case I cough. I'm all good.
That's more than I have, actually. So, yeah, so nothing next week and then the roundtable after that. So it should be fun. And I don't have to leave the country or go anywhere for at least until probably June. So I think we're set for a while.
Hey, June. Now, see, that I can get excited about. Next week, I'm just like, oh, Iceland. I'm not going. I don't care.
All right. So that's about it for this show. Kind of a short one.
It was an email one. And those are, I like the email shows, too.
Yeah. So I imagine when I'm gone, the Mesmer will be revealed, right?
Well, they told me that's what they were waiting on.
Yeah.
They're actually they're watching your flight, and they're waiting for you to get on the plane where you have no internet access.
Well, I'll be on the flight for like 24 hours.
Well, my point.
And then, yeah, so that'd be good.
The captain's going to call them. Okay, I told them to turn off all electronic devices. Go.
Yeah. And you'll be like, you'll like release your own guild cast. And you'll be like, nothing to report here.
Sean, not a thing.
Sean knows nothing. Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens. But I'm optimistic. Even if they announce it while I'm gone, I'll still be happy. Yeah. A little less happy. But
it's not. But you, they won't. I mean, I keep telling you, it's class number 8. So you're safe. I don't know what class number 7 is, but Mesmer's 8.
Yeah. We'll see.
You're safe. You can be on a plane for 48 hours if you're so inclined.
So even if they announce classes 7 and 8 and they're not the Mesmer, I'm just going to keep forever and ever. I'm just going to be like, class 9 coming up will be the Mesmer.
Poor Sean.
All right. Well, if anyone wants to send us an email, you can send it to Sean, S-H-A-W-N, at guildcast.com, or Ruby, R-U-B-I, at guildcast.com, or both. We like to both get them.
Yes, please.
Also, Twitter and Facebook. Our Twitter is /guildcast, twitter.com/guildcast, where we usually, every time there's a new episode, I'll, you know, tweet it right away. And then there's our little Facebook group, which is, I think it's like a fan-run Facebook group. And then, of course, guildcast.com. Where we have the show notes for every episode that we do. And this one will be chock full of links. Right, Ruby?
Yay, links. I'm working on it. I'm not typing yet because you'll be able to hear me typing, but I will.
Okay. So, yeah, that's it. So in 2 weeks, more than 2 weeks, we'll be back with the roundtable episode. And I think that's about it from us. So until then, this is Sean.
I'm Ruby.
And we'll talk to you then.